My guest at this time is retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash. He's also a Fox News analyst and an expert on the theocratic regime in Iran. He joins me now as the United States begins reapplying economic sanctions against Iran in the aftermath of President Trump exiting the Iran nuclear deal. So what does Trump hope the sanctions will accomplish? And will it mean new nuclear negotiations? We'll get into all of that and more. And Captain Nash, it's always great to have you with us.
Nice to be back with you, Greg.
Well, the foreign policy establishment was not happy about Trump exiting the nuclear deal. The European powers are not happy that the sanctions are back. Both of them seem to argue that Iran more or less was in compliance with the terms of the deal. But I know you've studied this closely. What are the facts?
Well, the facts are that Iran was in compliance with a lot of the terms of the deal, but the terms of the deal were meaningless. And so what happens is it makes it look like there was this very strict regime of inspection and verification, when in fact they had to submit early in advance for any kind of an inspection regime. And even then, the Iranian officials were allowed to collect the samples to be sent for examination. And no military facilities were on the inspection protocols. So this whole thing is a joke. It was then sealed with well over $1 billion of cash, gold, and Swiss francs to cement the deal. And then there are reports that the United States also gave Iran access to the U.S. banking system and citizenship for certain Iranian citizens to close this deal. This was a disaster. President Trump is correct. And he has pulled out of that deal. He pulled out of that deal in May. Now, what the European allies are upset about was they were looking to sell a tremendous amount of goods to Iran. And those deals, now that the United States has pulled out, the administration has basically said, would you like to do business with the United States or would you like to do business with Tehran? Pick one.
And more than likely, they're likely to pick us. So, so Europe's hands are effectively tied here. They can't necessarily buck the United States much on this.
No, they can't, Greg. And if you look at some of the intricacies of this, it's not just with banking, the banking regime, or anything like that. Look at aircraft, for example. There is so much United States technology in aircraft that there isn't an aircraft manufacturer in the Western world who can export to Tehran if the United States pulls the export licenses for its technology that's embedded in those platforms. That includes Airbus. It includes ATR, which is a joint venture between the Italian company Leonardo and Airbus. So there is so much technology, and it's all intertwined, and the U.S. controls the export licenses on so much of the absolute required technology.
So if we're putting our foot down again, and the Europeans and others have little choice but to follow our lead, what do you expect the impact of these sanctions to be? We know from previous years that that's what got them to the table, and then a lot of folks, you included, believe they got a sweetheart deal from the Obama administration. But what's the administration's goal here? What do they want to squeeze out of Iran here?
Right, and I think there's the difference between the Obama administration and the Trump administration. The Obama administration was trying to placate. The Trump administration is trying to actually change Iranian behavior. And they're doing it by not just gradually ratcheting up sanctions. They've decided to put two tranche of sanctions in. The first tranche is what happened, was announced today, which is they're going after some Iranian goods. And, you know, it's carpets and pistachios and a few ancillary things. But that impacts a lot of the what are called the bazaaris, which is the mercantile class inside of Iran. And so it's impacting them. They are the big supporters of the theocratic regime. The bazaaris were the ones who were crucial in the Ayatollah Khomeini successfully conducting the Islamic Revolution in the 1970s. So when they start shifting because they're under pressure, things really start to happen. You get the mullah's attention. And to that point, you have to look at what's been going on in Iran, and that is, in the last year alone, their currency, the rial, has lost 80% of its value. Things have been going south in Iran for years, and now the mullahs are trying to tell the people, no, 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 it's not our gross mismanagement, it's not our spending money on militarization instead of working on infrastructure and other things in the economy. No, 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 it's the Americans pulling out of the deal, and the people aren't buying it. They've had five straight days of significant demonstrations in the country, following the December and January demonstrations where 25 people were killed and 500 people were arrested, and those were nationwide, as are these. Now, they're not going to bring down the government. This isn't like the Green Revolution, but it shows that the Iranian people are not buying the propaganda coming out of the mullahs in Tehran. They are extremely dissatisfied with the economy and the lack of freedoms in the country. And this is, they're going to be able to, the mullahs are going to be able to probably keep the lid on this, but for how much longer? And that's the equation they have to balance. Can we really let the United States move on to the November 4th exercise of sanctions, which would be the second tranche, where they then put sanctions against our banking industry and our energy sector? And when that happens, that could be, that could spell the doom for the mullahs inside of Tehran.
We're talking with retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash. And Chuck, you mentioned a couple of critical things there that I want to follow up on.
Sure.
You mentioned, first of all, the protests that happened at the beginning of the year when the sanctions weren't reapplied. So the people there know that the economy is not directly as a result of the U.S. sanctions. Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, one of the big criticisms of the Obama administration during the Green Revolution was that it basically sat on the sidelines. So how do we make it clear we're punishing the regime but supporting the people?
I think the people already have the message that this is not about them. In fact, Greg, if you look, believe it or not, even in despotic countries like Iran, there is polling that takes place. Now, some of it's surreptitious because people don't want to necessarily let their true feelings out because they never really know who they're speaking with. But polling has indicated that the Iranian people remain to this day very pro-American. And they were not expecting, when the Ayatollah Khomeini came in, and that revolution, it was 78-79, when that took place, they were expecting this religious leader to come back, use his credentials to then bring democracy to Iran. And it didn't happen. Instead, they used Iran like a parasite would use a host. And they don't really care that much about the Iranian people. They care about spreading the Islamic revolution. And they do that through this organization called the IRGC, which is the Islamic Revolutionary Guard. It's not the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. It's the Islamic Revolutionary Guard. They are the equivalent of the Gestapo to Hitler. In other words, the Gestapo did not swear allegiance, as did the Abwehr, to the German state. The Gestapo swore personal allegiance to Adolf Hitler. The IRGC, or the Guard, as they call it, and they call it the Pasdaran, or the Guard. The Guard in Iran has sworn allegiance to the Islamic Revolution, and they now control a significant portion of all of the industrial and sales and goods businesses inside of Iran, and that's how the mullahs placate the IRGC. The Pasdaran members.
And lastly, Captain Nash, in comments made aboard Air Force One on Sunday, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said that the administration could potentially be willing to look beyond the sanctions at some point, but to do so would, quote, require enormous change from Tehran. What kind of change would be necessary?
I think the change would be a restructuring of the government. Personally, I believe United States policy toward Iran should be regime change. And what the mullahs are going to have to weigh, back to an earlier point that I made, what they're going to have to weigh is, if they do not show enough change, significant change, which I think is almost impossible for them, between now and November, and the president on November 4th says, okay, second tranche of sanctions coming in, and we're going to hit their banking and energy sectors, At that point, I think that may be the final straw. They're going to have to weigh, can we really keep the lid on this if that happens, given that the economy over there has been on a downslide for the last several years.
We'll be watching, and we'll be glad to get your analysis as events warrant. Thank you, Captain Nash, very much for your time, as always.
My pleasure, Greg.
Retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash, also a Fox News analyst and an expert on Iran. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.